Chapter 91. Virginia. Salvation or Vengeance. Deja Thoris, this is Phobos Command. Your approach vector is prime. Welcome home, our sovereign. There is a small vault in my heart where certain words are guarded like fragile artifacts. Family, home, love, son, husband, brother. My enemies have cracked the vault open, ransacked it, and defecated on its floor. Home. I don't recognize that word anymore. It has been violated. I have been violated. The corner of my heart was always reserved for my twin, despite all his failings. Now the existence of Lilith's abomination eats at me. The abomination has Sevro. Mercury has fallen. My husband is still missing with Cassius, and I have fled to Mars. It was the only choice. Our failure to come together until too late robbed us of any alternatives. I left Sevro and Clown and Pebble. I left my husband to die.
It was Cassius Cavax sent for him.
The man was found in his deep space corvette. The communications equipment had been destroyed, and his ship barely managed to limp back to Mars. The details of his escape from his rim imprisonment are fuzzy at best, but it seems he was spared from execution by one of Romulus's sons. He was secluded in a private estate on Europa, to be released when the war ended. He broke out and stole his ship back to escape. After delivering the news to Cavax, he offered his service to the Republic. I never thought I'd hear that in all my life. I watch out the viewport of the Deja Thoris as 40 nimble corvettes form an honor lotus before our fleet and head back to the outer picket line. I don't deserve it.
While Cassius plunged into the heart of the enemy for Darrow with only a small strike team, I had an armada and I ran away.
It was the right choice, but those are the ones that aid you. Ahead, the blue iron tails of our honor guard wait. 30 crimson ecliptic guard torchships guide us towards Mars's defensive sphere. First through roving patrols, then a 10,000-meter gulf followed by thickets of minefields and light cannon array, then the hunting grounds for attack squadrons of destroyers and torchships, and finally into the realm of the apex predators, the defense platforms, the dreadnoughts and their battle groups. Mars has rallied for its sovereign.
The loyal stand ready, ma'am, Holiday says from my shoulder. But will they be enough, Nakamura?
She is not used to hearing doubt in my voice, nor do I often allow it to intrude. But I feel a kinship with the commando that has deepened these last days as our shared dream crumbles around us. She took the news of Ephraim's death stoically, but I know it eats at her. Just as I may be free from the abomination's grasp, but I am yet enslaved by the work undone, the enemies unvanquished, the friends unsaved, and the mistakes I made. Could I have gone for Darrow? Or was the rim waiting to close the trap and pin me against the Ash Armada? As ever, Holiday senses my mood.
Ma'am, I know you'll think you are only 100 meters away. Not gonna lie, that'll haunt you sure as a fold against a single comet bluff. But they taught, in the Ludus, the surest path between two points ain't always the shortest. I turn on her. You think there's a chance we'll get Sevro back? She gives me a grim smile. It's been done before.
Victra found my son. I lost her husband. No amounts of calculus will fix that arithmetic.
Yet Victra did not sail on Luna. She respected your orders.
She gives a curt nod out the viewport, where Mars's moons are coming into sight. I step forward.
The full might of the Julii fleet roves around the pincushion city moon of Phobos and the battle moon of Deimos.
The Pandora's comforting mass is sorely missed, but Victra's personal fleet is larger even than my own. With her lost child and Sevro in captivity, I feared she would run wild. Instead,
her trade armada readies for war.
Light flares on the Julii Sun dockyard halo as we pass.
Hundreds of new ships teem with expedited industry as the workers and automatons race against the doomsday clock. And then we are past the dockyard, and the planet itself looms before us. On Mars, I was born and rode horses at Ishtar. On Mars, my eldest brother bled to death on the Aegean cobbles before Carnus Albalona. And my mother jumped off a cliff. My father and my best friend were killed by my twin. On Mars, I met my husband. But only my son waits below. It seems a lifetime ago that Darrow led my father's reign against our planet. I watched the friction trails bloom from this very bridge. How simple the world seemed then in the tunnel of youth. Could I have really been only 19? Can it be wrong to feel nostalgic for a day of blood? Or was it the innocence I miss, before we truly knew what turned the world? The melancholy is scored away by wrath, as the night side of the planet comes into view. Cimmeria is cloaked in darkness. The obsidian I allowed to seize the continent in hopes they would call it home and defend it with their lives have ravaged it instead.
The central cities of Nike, Phoenicia, and Olympia are dark.
I believed in the obsidians. I believed in Sephi. I was too optimistic. It only took a single man to topple her reign and unleash her people. Now the obsidian army and fleet are gone, having disappeared mysteriously after Kieran gave Volga over to the father of Ragnar.
It seems all this Volsung Far wanted was Sephi's army and only half her stores of helium.
The rest they left abandoned in containers on the tarmacs as casually as if the containers were filled with surplus dining utensils. "What does Nars mean to you, Nakamura?" I ask. The Terran hesitates. "Hope. And you, my liege?" "War." I turn on a heel for the hangar. As pit crews prepare Pride 2 for disembarkation, Kavak sits on the hangar floor. He stares out at Mars floating on the other side of the pulse field. Sophocles spools in his lap, watching his master with concern. I set a hand on Kavak's shoulder as I approach. He closes his eyes in a moment of warmth, then looks back at the planet.
"Daxo loved Mars because she never pretended to be a maiden," he says.
"The beautiful Scarred," he called her, I reply.
"The beautiful Scarred."
Kavak loses himself for a moment in the echo.
"He loved South Pacifica, but he was born here, in Zephyria, where I was born. When he was as high as my knee, I took him as my father once took me, through the heartwood, and I showed him the tree that grew from the seed of my father's heart, and his before him. I showed him where mine would be planted, where his would be planted beside his brother's." His voice trails away.
Kavax was not able to recover Daxo's body. The Vox cremated the slain senators and mixed them into the sewers so they could not be collected by their kin and brought back to Mars.
"Pardon me," he says, collecting himself. "Sometimes the indignity is more than I can bear."
Kavax is no longer the indestructible man who helped raise me. His decline started with Volga's grievous wound to his side, then Thraxa going missing, and finally Daxo's remains floating through the sewers of a moon Kavax hated. He despairs he will lose his remaining daughters, his wife, and his planet. He looks up at me with wet eyes.
"Must it be here?" he asks.
"It must." I offer a hand to help him rise. With a heavy sigh, the weary family man kisses his pet on the brow, takes my hand, rises, and transforms once more into my father's enforcer, the warrior giant of House Telemannus. Even I feel inclined to shiver, but it is a tragedy to see any man sacrifice his nature for his vocation, much less a man I love so much. To be what we need, what I need, he must go to war again.
All his life he waited to pass the reins to his children. Now so few are left. It is not how he thought it would be, but he endures. He put an arm around my shoulders. There is an evil in us, as there is good, but we do not regret our good as we do our evil. So we know what we are, my daughter. We know what we are. His voice fades, his conviction exhausted. So I pull him closer. We know what we are, I reply. He hears the certainty in my voice and straightens to his full height and pulls away. When your father would return to Mars, he would run the Iron Circle to prove who owned the planet. I am not my father. Not in all ways. That's been proved. But sometimes you need to show a little fang. The Iron Circle is an old custom popularized by Selenius. To prove the depth of his dominion over a planet or moon, he would fly his shuttle without escort in a ring around it upon arrival, no matter the political tensions or adversaries at large on it. Take your shot. It was his fucking planet. The custom has gotten quite a few powerful men killed. Sometimes people just can't resist tossing a stone at Goliath and fell out of practice with most households. To do it now, in the wake of the violence Mars has seen, despite the threats at large, is saying no more and no less to the world than look how big my cock is. With the main shuttle Pride One in the hands of the Abomination, we leave the hangar of the Deja Thoris in Pride Two. The war shuttle bucks as it descends through atmosphere without its escort of ripwings. Niobe's Fox One joins us starboard. As we perform the Iron Circle, I sit, rolling my fingers along the rim of my husband's ring. Cassius sent it back to him, and Darrow gave it to me. He gave everything to me he could. I wish I could let him know it was enough. Let Cassius have found him. Let me slide into bed with him one last time. Let me feel his warmth again. I need him more now than ever. Mars needs him. All the ships and gun batteries in the world don't make Mars seem safe without the Reaper. My officers in the cabin do their best not to look nervous as we pass over the Amazonian Sea toward war-torn Cimmeria to complete the circle. What will I say to my son when I see him? Pax is neither stupid nor helpless, especially not with Electra at his side. He would not have woken up every day, praying it would finally be the day his mother would save him and make everything right in the world again. No, he would use game theory. He would work the models in his mind until he saw the reasons, the permutations, the tectonic plates in motion. Then he would scheme a way to help me as much as he could. I wonder if Pax realizes yet that I raised him to be as much an ally as a son, and if he understands my guilt over that. If he knows, could he still grasp how losing him was like losing a limb? How my love for him goes beyond logic, beyond explanation. Virginia, Kavax whispers at the viewport. Look, I can't muster the energy. Either someone shoots at us or doesn't, I say. The Iron Circle was your idea. Just look. Holiday tries to join Kavax at the viewport. When he won't move, she takes the next viewport down and shatters my officer's grim mood with a throaty laugh. Mom, you'll want to see this.
Frowning, I slide open my viewport shade and see a line of fire racing across the dark landscape east of Nike, another flaring west of Phoenicia, and yet another southeast of Olympia itself.
To be so visible at this height, the lines must nearly be 100 kilometers long. As I watch, the lines of fire curve into the shape of a sling blade. Mars endures. Despite the recent violence, no surface fire licks upward at my ship during its passage around the planet. Even I didn't believe we'd complete the Iron Circle without incident. The mood of the officers has changed. The holocans in the back of the shuttle mumble with beating drums and singing crowds in cities all across Mars. In my shame, it is not the response I would have expected.
Mars's zealotry has always been reserved for my husband and his first wife. Kavak sits by the door, tapping his heels, eager to set foot on his home soil again. Holiday watches the Holos with a look of love for the planet as it hails Lionheart and the Republic. Clouds embrace the shuttle, and when they pull back, we see the Val Marineris gashing the world with its glittering towers and the glowing green parks and forests that sprawl along the cityscape and crawl up its towering walls. Millions of civilians line the rim of the Great Canyon. Hundreds of thousands of new recruits pour onto the grounds outside what was once my institute, but is now the Pegasus Legion barracks. As we approach Aegea, the ground becomes lost beneath the shifting tides of humanity that gather in the parks and courtyards and main avenues. The Via Triumphia is as clogged as it was on Mars's first liberation day. They are all holding something red above their heads. My shuttle sets down between the Republic's victory obelisks that lead the way to the Lion Stairs. The sounds of the sea humanity that fill the courtyard wash against the shuttle. I see now what they hold above their heads. Their millions of clenched fists are dipped in red. A great murmur seeps through the crowd as I descend the plank with Kavax and Holiday at my side. They grow silent enough I can hear my boots on the metal plank and then on the marble as I cross the courtyards of victories to the Lion Steps. Niobe joins us along with the Centurions of Pegasus Legion, Loyalist Skyhall and House Naval Captains, and the remaining three widows of Arcos. The drums along the courtyard boom from the labour of red tribal drummers. I ascend the steps quickly when I see my boy waiting at the top of them. He is real. He is alive, just 10 meters away. It is as if he has walked through a doorway and come out not as a man, but finally the blueprint of the man he will one day be. He's a hand taller, his cheeks shrunken, new scars on his face. But the real change is in his eyes. The look of childish wonder is gone forever. Now they hold the dullness that marks the passage into wisdom. I wish I could wrap my boy in my arms and hold him until he became part of me again. I would garland him with kisses and apologies and promises. But we are at war, and I am the sovereign, so the mother must wait her turn. Kavak sees my distress and breaks from the procession to scoop my son up in his arms with a madman's laugh. He perches him on his shoulder and crows about the boy who killed a torch ship. I approach the Arch-Governor. My husband's brother smiles up at me, as charismatic as Darrow, but without even a hint of his brother's violent temperament. Kieran was always demure in private and popular with the crowds. It looks right to see him with the Sword of the Rising on his hip. Behind him stand the praetors of the Martian legions, the imperators of the Ecliptic Guard, and the old sons of Ares commanders, all battle-hardened and clever, if a far cry from those we lost on Mercury. Kieran clears his throat. "My sovereign," his voice floats over the crowd. "Luna has fallen. The Senate is dissolved. The Arch-Governors hold planetary imperium. According to the new compact of the Republic, in this time of peril, I exercise my power to grant total imperium to my sovereign." He pulls the Sword of the Rising from its sheath. It is the battered sling blade of the slave once known as L17L6363, his brother, the very tool Darrow used in the mine of Lycos. Kieran passes it to me. It is heavier than I expected a red could wield. I turn to the crowd beyond the obelisks and thrust the blade in the air. "Hail Libertas," I bellow. "Hail Reaper," echoes the crowd. After I have received my debrief, I find Pack sitting with Holiday in the garden where my brother killed my father 12 years before. The blood has been washed from the stone, but I still see it there. Whatever Pax has told Holiday has her in tears. He presses something into her hand, and she surprises me by kissing his forehead. She salutes as she passes me.
Scampering around the edge of the garden, Sophocles salutes her departure with a bark and weaves through my son's legs in delight to see him again. My old memories of the garden disappear as my boy spots me. I feared he would greet me as I've seen him greet his father, with that cold, scolding remove. But my fears were unfounded. All pretense fails between us and we crash together in an embrace. That hollow his absence has made in me is filled. I feel as whole, as warm, as loved, and proud as I did the day I first held him in my arms. How many times did my willpower almost break? How many times did I let myself imagine what sinister designs my enemies had in store for him? He has survived. As I pull back from him, I see his father's anger in his eyes, his mother's patience, his own animated curiosity. But he has changed.
The sounds of training razors clack through the seaside courtyard at Hippolyte.
Victra curses loudly, then barks, "Again!" Pax sees me hesitate to pass through the fighter's arch. I'm afraid to see my old friend. He takes my hand and steers me clear of the training yard, and together we approach the burial place of Ulysses. Grass has begun to grow over the small mound. The burial stone is wet with the morning rain. This could have been my son. Pax knows my mind and steps closer to me.
"You were right about Lyria of Largolos," he says.
"She did have virtue. Without her and Volga, it seems Victra would have been lost. I would like to see her again. Her brother was evacuated by the..." "He's on the Reynard. I know. I've sent her away." I look at him without surprise. "Where to?" "After Ragnar's daughter, in a manner." "I don't understand. She's just a girl." He pauses. "Not anymore." We look back to the grave, guilty for speaking over it. Several told me he was having a girl. It seems Victor was waiting to surprise even him. A boy, at last. A chance to make up for his own father's absence. "Mother wanted to give him a son death," Electra says. Always fleet of foot, she has grown quieter. I didn't hear her approach. Like Pax, she's grown since I last saw her. But she knew father would want him to visit when he gets back. "Electra, thank you for taking care of my son," I say. Her narrow eyes flick to him. "That's his story? No one likes liars, Pax." They flick back to me. They were always hard, but not like they are now. I can see that now all she wants is to grow up so she can kill. It's no longer cute. "Whatever the obsidian were feeding you worked. Look how tall you are." She shrugs. "Maybe you're just smaller." She bows slightly for her sovereign, then walks away. Pax watches her go with a worried expression. "She doesn't like waiting," Pax says. I glance toward the training courtyard. That makes two of us. "Wait here." I find Victra in the center of the courtyard, facing down three of her best knights. I silence my datapad before entering. Even at her peak, three prime opponents would have been one too many. Sweat lathers muscular arms swollen with welts. She trains like a woman possessed. Already the curves of motherhood burn away. Practice razors whisper through the air as I walk in. A clutch of 60 peerless stiffen and bow at my arrival. I whisper hello to Victra's youngest daughter, Selene, and the middle child, Calypso. When they hug me, I see their hands are bandaged from training. Sons of Ares practice martial arts along with a bluff on Victra's estate. Both parts of House Julii and Barker are preparing for total war. In the square, Victra eliminates one of the knights with a neat thrust to his neck, and then receives a sideways slash to her shin and another to her temple from the fastest of the three. The head strike is a killing blow. Blood trickles down Victra's face. She stumbles, growls, returns to the center of the circle and shouts for them to go again. The knights stop and bow when they see me. Victra casts me an annoyed glance and stalks over to a towel to wipe the blood off her face. I join her there.
"Does Mars ride for Luna, my sovereign?" she asks. "You know we can't yet." "Then what do you want?"
"Just to speak with."
"And of what should we speak? Of how they nailed my son to a tree? Of how our Skamani came like fucking monsters out of the ether? Of how you could have saved Darrow but didn't?"
"Victra.
Or maybe of how my husband is being tortured by that abomination while you run back home to lick your wounds."
She glares down at me.
"You might think I obeyed your orders, that I moulder here out of fidelity to your leadership. No. I am here because without reinforcements my fleet would be massacred by the Vox, much less if we ran afoul the Core."
She sticks a finger in my chest.
"You abandon my husband. Our enemies move uncontested. So, unless Mars is riding for Luna right now, fuck off."
She turns back to her practice. The knights look away as I strip off my jacket and unbutton my tunic to my compression bra.
"Victra," she turns.
Her eyes trace the divots Lilith's hatchet left on my stomach and neck and the several hundred punctures the mob gave me on my flanks and arms, and a tension releases from her shoulders. Her love and hate are made of the same passion.
"I tried," I whisper.
"Truly." Her eyes search each one of the scars. I now have more than she does. Her heavy hand reaches to clutch my shoulder, and then the bigger woman pulls our foreheads together.
"If we cannot engineer salvation for our men, then vengeance will suffice," Victra says.
I nod against her. My husband would have had it no other way. No matter what they say, Darrow is not dead. He endured for me and I did not arrive. I will endure now until he does. Victra will have her wrath till her dying breath. I will have my hope. I will make our family whole again. There's a stirring in the courtyard from the knights. A defense pulsed shield warps the air of Hippolyte, and Pax rushes into the courtyard with his datapad in hand. By the look on his face, I know what it is.
"Earth has fallen," I whisper.
"Already," Victra snarls. "To whom?" I ask. "Rim, or..."
"Both," he whispers distantly.
"Cassius was right. Loon has bridged the divide."